Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord, everybody. God bless you. It is Torah today. His story is week 54. It's actually the last week of Torah portion, and we begin all over again next week. So I'm excited to be here with you. The theme of Torah today is Shat Kol Hamoed Sukkot, Intermediate Day of Tabernacles. This is the hour of Sukkot. This is the festival time. It's the time of celebration. It's actually the last festival, last of appointed times of God for the year, and then we're going to start back all over again. So it's an exciting time to be here, and we want to come and assemble for the reading and the hearing and the reverencing of Yah through the fellowship around Torah today. Listen, our Torah portions for today are Exodus 33, one of my favorite passages in the Bible. Exodus 33, I believe we started around verse 12, and we go through chapter 34 to verse 26, and then Ezekiel 38, starting at verse 18, going all the way to 39, verse 16. And I think what I'm going to do today is I'm going to begin by reading Ezekiel, the passage in Ezekiel, and then we're going to come back to the other portions. Again, I'm excited. Sukkot actually began, that's the Feast of Feast of Tabernacles. It actually began at sundown on the 4th, and it goes all the way till sundown on the 10th. And so the first day you're supposed to do no work, you know, it's the Sabbath, and then the last day, which is, I believe, that last day is the eighth day, and it's no work done on that day either, but this is a time of celebration. And what is Sukkot all about? It's about us remembering the deliverance, that was made for us. You know, the children of Israel, those Hebrew children came through that wilderness place to sleep, and they had to dwell in tents, and that's what, you know, that part of the name of Sukkot is about, talks about the tents, the festival of booths, you know, or tents, and how that's set up, that we would remember all that God has done in that passageway between that bondage place. So it's just an amazing time, and I've really been enjoying this time. It is definitely what I would call God's Thanksgiving. You know, this is the real Thanksgiving of the year. It's celebrated for a whole week, and it's just an exciting time. So let's go ahead and jump right into this. I want to start out by reading, as I said, Ezekiel chapter 38. I don't know how much of this I'm going to read. I think I should just go ahead and read through it, but then I want to jump back to Exodus 33 and share some things with you there. It says, "But on that day, the day that Gog shall come against the land of Israel, declares Yah, my wrath will be roused in my anger, for in my jealousy and in my blazing wrath I declare, on that day there shall be a great earthquake in the land of Israel. The fish of the sea and the birds of the heavens and the beasts of the field and all the creeping things that creep on the ground and all the people who are on the face of the earth shall quake at my presence, and the mountains shall be thrown down and the cliffs shall fall and every wall shall tumble to the ground. And I will summon a sword against Gog on all mountains, declares Yah, Every man's sword will be against his brother with pestilence and bloodshed. I will enter into judgment with him, and I will rain upon him and his hordes and the many peoples who are with him, torrential rains and hailstones, fire and sulfur. So I will show my greatness and my holiness and make myself known in the eyes of many nations. Then they will know that I am Yah. Then it says here in verse 39, chapter 39, verse 1, I'm going to read all of this. And you, son of man, prophesy against Gog and say, thus says Yah, behold, I am against you, O Gog, chief prince of Meshech and Tubal, and I will turn you about and drive you forward and bring you up from the uttermost parts of the north and lead you against the mountains of Israel. Then I will strike your bow from your left hand, and I will make your arrows drop out of your right hand. You shall fall on the mountains of Israel, you and all your hordes and the peoples who are with you. I will give you to birds of prey of every sort and to the beasts of the field to be devoured. You shall fall in the open field, for I have spoken, declares Yah. I will send fire on Magog and those who dwell securely in the coastlands, and they shall know that I am Yah. And my holy name, listen to this, and my holy name I will make known in the midst of my people Israel, and I will not let my holy name be profaned anymore. And the nations shall know that I am Yah, the Holy One in Israel. Behold, it is coming, and it will be brought about, declares Yah. That is the day of which I have spoken. Then those who dwell in the cities of Israel will go out and make fires of the weapons and burn them, shields and bucklers, bows and arrows, clubs and spears. And they will make fires of them for 7 years, so that they will not need to take wood out of the field or cut down any out of the forest, for they will make their fires of the weapons. They will spoil of those who despoiled them and plunder those who plundered them, declares Yah. On that day I will give to Gog a place for burial in Israel, the valley of the travelers east of the sea. It will block the travelers, for their Gog and all his multitude will be buried. It will be called the valley of Haman Gog. For 7 months the house of Israel will be burying them in order to cleanse the land. All the people of the land will bury them, and it will bring them renown on the day that I show my glory, declares Yah. They will set apart men to travel through the land regularly and bury those travelers remaining on the face of the land as to cleanse it. And here we go. The end of the 7 months they will make their search, and then these travel through the land, and anyone sees a human bone, then he shall set up a sign by it till the buriers have buried it in the valley of Haman Gog. Hamanon is also the name of the city. Hamonah is also the name of the city. Thus shall they cleanse the land. This is exciting. I'm telling you right now, this Ezekiel portion is so prophetic for where we are on God's prophetic timeline right now. He begins to declare some things about what is to come. You know, him being a jealous God, and his wrath blazing, and the impact that he's going to make in the earth against the enemies of God in this season. This is right where we are. There were some really key points here that stood out. We know that there's a lot going on in the earth with pestilence and bloodshed. We also know that a lot of things are going on with torrential rains and hailstones, and we haven't seen the fire and sulfur because we're getting to that volcanic eruption shortly. Just shortly, we're going to get to those. And I know a lot of people are saying, well, why would you say that? It's a part of what the scripture says. This has to be. These things have to happen because God wants to get the attention of the people to remind them who he is. I love this, what he says. He said, so I will show my greatness and my holiness and make myself known in the eyes of many nations. They will know that I am Yah. Are you listening to what I'm saying? He said, I want them to understand that I'm against what they're doing. And we have a lot of stuff going on in the world, a lot of different different powers that be that have been doing things for centuries. They've been operating for hundreds of years. Doing this wickedness and building an empire and building their legacy, and God's just going to bring all of that to naught just in a matter of moments. He begins to talk about us taking their weapons and using them for fuel. Are you listening to what I'm saying? All of these weapons that they have devised, the things that they have set up, even in the way of artificial intelligence and all of the things that they're thinking to do against the creation of God, God is saying, listen, I'm going to allow you to take those things that they have set up, those things that they have created, and that's going to be fuel for your fire in the seasons to come. You're not going to need to do a whole lot of extra. You're going to already have everything that you need to be able to move in the things that I've called you to do and make those things happen. I noticed here also that there's going to be a separate thing here as he strikes the bow from their hands and the arrows out of their hands and the mountains. It says they'll fall on the mountains of Israel. That's not talking about just the high places, as in physical mountains, but it's talking about human mountains, the places that God has exalted, the people that he's exalted. It's talking about the Spirit of the Lord is saying, listen, I'm going to make their bodies a feast for the birds of prey. Are you hearing what I'm saying? So what they have thought to do to God's creation, this is why the earth is groaning. It's awaiting the manifesting sons of God. Are you listening to what I'm saying? To reset it, to get it back to its proper position. I love this thing that the Lord says here. He says, listen, they will set apart. Wait. I want to find this. Where is it? Show me, Holy Spirit. It talks about his name. And I want to bring that up because if we go to Exodus 33, there we go. Verse 7 in that portion, verse 7, it says, and my holy name I will make known in the midst of my people Israel, and I will not let my holy name be profaned anymore. I need you to understand that this word name is not just the name of Yah. It's not just, you know, like my name is Crystal. You know, it's not just my name. It's all that goes along with me. It's who I am. It's my character. It's the essence of who I am. My motives, you know what I'm saying? What I'm known for, all of that. That's what the name of God is about. He's saying, listen, I'm not going to allow my character, who I am, to be mishandled anymore or be profaned, be brought to a low place. I'm going to make sure that my name is clear, you know, that my character and everything about me, where I stand, is a clear place. That's an amazing passage. It's an amazing prophetic passage for where we are right now. I'm encouraging you to go back and go over that and over that some more, because there are some really good nuggets in there prophetically for where we are right now. And we don't really have a lot to fear in the way of what's going on in the earth. I know a lot of people are really up in arms about the things that are going on. They're up in arms about the president. They're up in arms about decisions and laws that are being passed. They're up in arms about marches and segregation, and they're up in arms about so many things. But this is a distraction of the enemy to really distract you from what is really going on in the earth, because what's really going on in the earth is what's actually taking place in the heavens right now. And there are some things on God's prophetic calendar that if you're not connected to him, you won't be able to see. Now let's go really quickly. Let's go to Exodus 33. Let's go there, because I really want to jump into this. We've only got a few minutes, so I want to jump into this. I want to start here. First of all, let's talk about intercession for a moment, because I believe that we are in a season where intercession is a priority. Yeah, we're in this festival. This is a time of celebration. But even in this time of celebration, I feel the pull of God. I feel the call of God in a more extraordinary way than I've ever felt, to get in his presence. You know what I'm saying? To really just press in. And as the days go on in this celebration, in this festival time, I am finding myself more engaged intimately with God. You know what I'm saying? I've already got some discipline set in this season that the Father has given me. And you need to understand that there are some things that God will require of you. Just like in any relationship, there are things that are required of you if you're going to be in relationship. So you have to understand that there are things that are required of you, and you have to fulfill those things in order for the fullness of the relationship to be realized, in order for you to really get all of the best out of that relationship dynamic. There's something that you're going to do, and it's something that the other person is going to do. It's the same way with the Father. So when we talk about this piece of our intercession, you need to understand, first of all, that intercession is two ways. It's not just a one-way thing. It's not a monologue. It's actually a dialogue. But let's start here. Again, I believe this is a season of intercession and manifestation, but the manifestation is not going to happen without the intercession, because God is downloading what is necessary for you to proclaim, publish in the earth. And once it is proclaimed and published, then all of the attributes of that thing can become in its natural form and manifest in the physical form. And so when we look at this, I want to talk to you about intercession keys for a minute, because there are some really powerful points that are made here in this passage of Torah. Now, we know that Moses is still talking. He has not gone to sleep with his fathers yet. He is still, I'm thinking about our passages from Deuteronomy. This was Moses talking in this season anyway. He's interceding. And as he's interceding, he's reminding God of what God has said to him already. He's saying, listen, Father, you said to me to bring up this people, but you have not given me all the details of everything that you're going to do and how you're going to do it. Yet you have said, you know, you have to do this. And I feel the Holy Ghost, because these are just intercession keys. When you get in the presence of God, you want to first remind him of what he's spoken to you. This is how prophecy becomes manifested. This is how prophecy unfolds and takes on its actual form in your life, because you have to first agree with the thing, perceive that it's God, agree with it, accept it so you can conceive it. But then you've got to sometimes put God in remembrance of what he's spoken to you. He says, listen, you told me to do this. Now, you told me to do this, and then you said you knew me by name and that I found favor in your sight. So as you're bringing these things before God, this is not a selfish thing. This is a reminder, because there's a thing that happens in intercession. Intercession is not personal. It's not selfish. These are some keys of intercession. Intercession is not selfish. And so I'm always teaching the warriors of prayer that I connect to, that when they get in that prayer time, it's not about you. When you get in intercession, there are some things that you just talk to God about in your own time. But when it's time to intercede, it's about you standing in the gap for someone else. It's about you being put in that position as the person that's in the middle of a thing. Are you listening to what I'm saying? So intercession is not selfish. Intercession, this is a key too, intercession follows instruction. I just told you that God is downloading. He begins to download what needs to be discussed in intercession, because he knows better than you do what the situation is. And that's why the Holy Spirit lives on the inside. Holy Spirit lives on the inside to lead and to guide you into all truth. He searches the deep things of God. So he's going to give us the information that is required for us to proclaim and to pronounce and to publish, so that when we release that thing, it is the accuracy of God. You've got to be known of God. You know what I'm saying? That word to be known of God is the word yada. It means you're acquainted with, and he's acquainted with you. You've been taught by, you've been instructed by, and that goes right back to following the instruction. Are you hearing me? So this is important. You're an intimate acquaintance with this Father that you're talking about. Are you hearing what I'm saying? So I'm going to tell you the keys again. First of all, intercession is not selfish. It's unselfish. Intercession follows instructions. Are you hearing me? And intercessors are known of God. Intercessors are known of God. And then the fourth thing that I want to share with you as an intercessory key is that intercession requires grace. Are you hearing me? It requires grace for what's being known, for what's being discussed, for what's getting ready to be released. It requires the grace of God. Are you hearing what I'm saying? That word grace is the word kain, which talks about the favor, the mercy, that you're being shown consideration in a way. You've been made favorable. You've been made gracious. So it's a two-sided coin here. Not only have you received something, but you've been made what you received. Mighty God. Listen, let's go to verse 13. Verse 13 says this, now therefore, okay, since I brought this up to you, Father, since I'm known by you, since you told me to do this and I found favor in your sight, listen, now since I found favor in your sight, this is what I want from you. I want you to show me now your ways, that I may know you in order to find favor in your sight. Listen, he says several things here. This is a mouthful. He says, show me now your ways. He says, since all of these things are the case and I found favor in your sight, please show me your ways. Can I tell you something about intercession? Intercession doesn't have its own motive. Intercession wants to know the way of God. Intercessors want to know the plan of God. They want to know the heart of God. You know, your kingdom come, your will be done. That's what intercession is about. It's about making the will of God clear. It's about making it plain. It's about walking it out. He says, show me now your ways that I may know you in order to find favor in your sight. In other words, I want to do this intentionally. I know you said that I found favor, and I don't even know how I wound up in that place, but I want to identify what it is that makes you tick so that I can stay in that position with you, so that I can purposefully get in the position that I find favor with you all of the time. You hear what I'm saying? He said, consider, too, that this nation is your people. In other words, not only do I want something here, but I want you to make a consideration here that these are the people that you are calling yours. These are your people. Again, intercession is not selfish. It's not just about you. Verse 14, I love it because I keep telling you that intercession and prayer is not a monologue. It's a dialogue. God is responding immediately. He says, my presence will go with you. Not only will I allow my presence to go with you, but I'm going to give you rest. Are you hearing me? So you got to be settled as Moshe was in Exodus. And our passage for Sukkot, you know, as we are celebrating, as we are having this festival of booths and enjoying and giving thanks unto God. This is the real Thanksgiving again, as we're giving him thanks. These are some of the reasons that we're giving him thanks, because we understand, I love this, we're understanding, and we're going to get here in a minute because I'm kind of jumping ahead of myself because I don't have that much time. We understand that what God's going to reveal to us is not just for now, it's for the future. Are you hearing me? I did jump ahead of myself, but I wanted to drop that seed so you could see where we're going. He says, listen, I don't. If your presence doesn't go with us, I don't want you to bring us up from here. Just leave us where we are. Because if you can't go with us, we don't want to go anywhere. And you've got to have that made up in your mind in this season. It's why the appointed times are so important, because they are God's set times. They're God's set times to have discussions with you. They're set times of God to remind you of where he is in his character, to remind you of how he feels about specific things. I'm excited about this Torah thing because it just keeps reminding us and reminding us of what the character of God is, what his position is, the direction he's desiring to take his people. There's so much prophetic insight for the future just in Torah alone. We haven't even gotten to all of the prophets, you know, as a whole, although we read those and we just read Ezekiel. How amazing was that passage today prophetically? But when we look into Torah, he is really, these are the things that have been concealed that are now to us being revealed. They are very clear to us what the mind of God was for the future of his creation. Are you listening to what I'm saying? So this is important. Verse 13, he says, show me now thy way that I may know thee. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Show me now thy way that I may know thee. Being intentional about your posture to receive is important. You know, anytime there's a conception that's getting ready to take place, there are always postures or positions for conception. Now, we do know that there's more way to conceive a baby than just intimate, you know, sexual interaction. You can actually go to a place where they will sell you the sperm and you can allow that. You know what I'm saying? It's ways to do these things, but they all require a posture and a position. That's still my point. Are you listening to me? And the adversary is adamant in this season about aggravating that position. He's adamant about trying to really put you in a place where you're just frustrated with position, and you, and he believes that if he can frustrate you and aggravate you enough, that you'll get out of your position. And I want to tell you this. I said this on our prophetic intercessors line the other day, and I think it's pertinent information, that you need to, when you go into the presence of God, when you go into intercession, when you go into prayer, you need to understand that God is going to respond. If you belong to him, he said, listen, if you call upon my name, I'm going to answer you. I'm going to show you great and mighty things that you don't know anything about. I'm going to respond to you. You need to believe that I am and that I'm a rewarder of those that diligently seek me. If you come after me diligently, if you're seeking after me, I'm going to respond to your seek. Are you listening to what I'm saying? So it's kind of sort of like when you go into a place and you have to take a number, you're waiting for your number to be called. You don't go in there and take a number with no expectation of being called. You go in, you take the number, and you sit down and you relax. Why? Because you know your number is going to be called. And at the point your number is called, then you're going to be able to conduct the business that you're there for. This is the same way that you need to go into intercession. Go ahead and take a number. You know, go ahead and get in your position and say, I know that I'm here for a purpose. I know that you've called me to yourself for a purpose, because you're going to see something about the Lord and how he deals with Moshe in chapter 34 in just a moment. But there's an expectation, not just of on Moses's part, on Moshe's part, but there's an expectation on Yah's part. He has an expectation. That's what covenant is all about. It's about the expectation that's on both sides. Listen, he says here, I'm going to go with you. Then he says, if your presence doesn't go with us, don't bring us up. He says, for how shall it be known? This is one of my favorites. I'm telling you, there is only one way for people to know that you belong to him. And that's if he's with you. If he's with you, then there are signs, there are signals, there are actual physical manifestations of his glory that you're allowed to carry even in your darkest places. I will prove that to you. When Joseph was thrown into that hole by his brothers, his mantle that his father created him was taken away from him. I guess they figured if they took the mantle, if they tore it up, if they put blood on it and took it back to his dad, that he wouldn't be special anymore. He was special, and the mantle was just a representation of how special he was and of all the dimensions that were on his life, of the grace that was on his life to prosper. No matter what position you put Joseph in, no matter what position you put him in, even in his lowest position as a slave, he's exalted to a high place. Are you hearing what I'm saying? And so this is what the Holy Spirit wants me to share with you today, that if you found favor in the sight of God, it doesn't matter what your position is right now. You've got a number in your hand, and your number is going to be called. And when your number is called, you'll be able to transact the business, conduct the business that God is calling you to in this season. Don't be frustrated. Don't be frustrated. Listen, he says, not only is my presence going to go with you, and Moses says, this is how people are going to identify that you're with us. This is how they're going to identify that we belong to you. This is what's going to set us apart. This is what's going to make us distinct and make us your people and make sure that everybody knows that we are outside of the people that are on the face of the earth. Outside, you know, as it pertains to all of them, we are absolutely distinctive people. And, you know, one of the problems with people that have been churched, one of the problems with people that have started to understand maybe some of their gifting, you know, they may not fully be in relationship, but they've had a taste of giftings and they've had a taste of some things. What they don't understand is this. God desires to set you apart and make you distinct. And anytime you begin to start blending in, anytime you start going into their arena and doing the things that they do, you're no longer distinctive. Yeah, they may see some things on you because the oil has not run out yet. If you're disconnected, can I tell you something? You're only going to go off of the power that's been generated by the sun for so long. Something has to be plugged up. Something has to be physically caused to go back into the mode of storing the energy again. Are you hearing what I'm saying? So the device has to be connected. There's a source that it's required of. And if you have blocked out the sun, then you're only going to run on that solar energy for so long. If you unplug a thing, sometimes you might have some juice left in it, you know, like with clippers. You know, if you plug in a clipper, when it starts to die down, it may not be full juice, but you have a little bit of juice. But at the end of that juice, you got to plug it up again. So disconnected, you're only going to maintain power for so long. If the source is not shining on you, if we're looking at solar power here, if the source is not shining on you, then you're not receiving the power that you need to operate as who you are. So I want to say this. Listen. Let's get to here. You identified by his presence. You're identified by his presence, and you're separate and distinct from all the people on the face of the earth. That's a serious thing to say to somebody. That's a serious place to be. Moses makes new tablets, right? There's a thing that happens here during this intercession. In verse 15, he says, I don't want to go without you. Okay, we're past that. In chapter 34 is where I am. Listen, chapter 34. Verse 1, he says, there's a partnership that comes out of this intercession. A covenant is defined. First, the instruction is given. He says, cut for yourself two tablets of stone. And then he says, on my part, I'm going to fulfill this. He said, then I will write. This reminds me of how salvation works. You're to yield, how this process of regeneration works every day. You're to yield, and it's him that's in you to do the work, to carry out what he's promoted, what he's deposited in you. He's carrying out the work. And so listen, he says, listen, I need you to do this. I need you to be ready. There's a set time. See, everything about God is about set times and appointed times. I promise you, because he's the God of times and seasons. He's the God of set times, of appointments, and those seasons that are gauged by what's going on in the heavens. He's always causing us to identify things, and it's always coinciding with the movement of the stars and all of these different things. He's the God of times and seasons. He divides time. He lets us know when it is time. There are appointed times. There are set times. There's a fullness of time. He's in control of all of that. So you don't have to worry about that. It's a partnership. It's a partnership, and you just need to be ready to do your part. Some things you'll have to do alone. He tells them to go to a specific place, but I want you to understand that God's calling to a high place. You have to read the rest of this on your own. He's calling to a high place. He tells Moses, come to the high place. Come up to the mount, to the top of the mount. Are you hearing me? I want to get to this. He says, listen, show me your glory. I didn't even get to this. Oh, God. And I want you to know that this glory that was being shown, he says, show me your doings. I'm not going to get through this. Show me your doings is what the glory of God is, his doings. And God shows him what's to come. That's how Moses winds up on the Mount of Transfiguration. You go look at it yourself. I don't have time to give you all the gist of it. But this is how Moses is translated into the future. He said, I'm not going to show you the past, because if I show you me in the past, I'm angry, I'm upset, but I'm going to show you the future of these things, and salvation is in the future of my people. Listen, I love you so much. God bless you. Until we come together the next time, you are blessed, and I don't want you to forget it. God bless you.